as you saw, we're starting a brand new series today, only a two-part series. And the message today, as well as the message next week, is going to challenge us to be really honest with ourselves. Because it's going to take us into the wilderness. And here's the thing about the wilderness. The wilderness will always reveal exactly who we are. Because it's a place of emptiness where I can't hide. There is no support. It shows the real me. Now, to help us with that today, I want to take you to a passage in Matthew chapter 4. This happens just after Jesus was baptized. So before he starts his ministry, before he calls any disciples, before he does any miracles, this is the story that we read in Matthew 4, verse 1 to 4. And I'm reading from the NIV today. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Now, let me just place this in context for you, because this is part of what happens. So just before this, in chapter 3, the last story we read is the story of Jesus' baptism. And in that moment, we see the Holy Spirit descend from heaven and come upon Jesus. And then the story ends with the heavens opening, verse 17 in chapter 3, and God's voice coming from heaven saying, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." The words of a father that is excited about his child. So our expectation would be that the next story we would read would be Jesus preaching to a great crowd, doing a great miracle, calming a great sea, and calling a great bunch of disciples. But actually, it's quite the opposite that we read. We read that the Holy Spirit, that same Holy Spirit that had just descended upon Jesus from heaven, now leads Jesus right into the wilderness. In the wilderness, and if you've seen the Judean desert, it's a huge place. It just rocks. There are no people. There's no support. There are no means. It's empty. There's nothing. It's kind of like the story just took a little bit of a wrong turn, a little bit like 2020. I mean, 2020, we had all these plans and we were ready, and then all of a sudden we're in the wilderness and none of the plans happened. But leave that there for a second. I want you to notice that the fact that Jesus ends up in the wilderness is not a mistake. It's not because somehow Jesus got lost and he took a wrong turn and ended up in the wilderness. It's God himself that leads Jesus into the wilderness. Now, here's the thing. We need to understand this. Because sometimes God's plan for our lives does not necessarily bypass the wilderness. Doesn't necessarily bypass 2020 or a pandemic. And you're saying, but why? Couldn't it just go by? Well, let's talk a little bit about the wilderness and what it reveals. So let me unpack this story with you. And let me take you back to verse 1. So we read, Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Spirit of God. And there he was tempted by the devil. Now we don't often hear these two words together, the Spirit of God and tempt, together. So let me just explain that word tempt to you. The Greek word that is used here is the word paraizo. Paraizo means two distinct things, or has two distinct meanings. In the first instance, and if you go read the Old Testament, you go read it in the Greek, the Septuagint or the LXX in short. If you go read that, you'll see that 90% of the time when it's used there, it's in this first meaning, the meaning of test. But not test in the way of I write a test and I either pass or I fail. The word parezo in the word sense of test means the expectation that I have taught you and I've brought you to the right place, and now I am looking forward to see how you are going to perform, because I know that you are going to do well because you know everything. But it also has that second meaning, which is the negative one, which has the meaning of tempt. Things that take my hand and want to pull me into things that will get me into trouble. So let me say this. Which one of the two meanings do you think we find in our scripture passage? I think both. But let's start off by saying this and hear this loud and clear. When God leads Jesus into the wilderness, it's not because God is going to tempt Jesus. Because you'll remember as well as I do, James chapter 1, verse 13. It says so clearly, when you are tempted, don't say, I am being tempted by God. Because here, number one, God never tempts anyone. Number two, God himself can never be tempted. So when you are tempted, it is because of your own sinful desires that are pulling you towards this and are tempting you. So when we find Jesus going into the wilderness, it's not because God is going to tempt Jesus. God does not tempt. Jesus goes into the wilderness for completely different reason. And we find the answer to that in that quotation that Jesus made in the second part that we read, and I'll come back to that. It comes from Deuteronomy chapter 8, and it's the whole basis on which this is built. And let me read you verse 2, and then you'll get where I'm going at. Moses, talking to the people of God after 40 years in the desert, getting ready to go into the promised land. Remember, says Moses, how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years. To humble, and listen to this word, to test you in order to know what was in your heart. Why does God take us into the wilderness? Because in the wilderness, it reveals exactly who we are, and it reveals exactly what is in our heart. And we'll see what's in Jesus' heart just a little later. Just hold on to that. Why does God not necessarily bypass the wilderness in our lives, in the plans for our lives? Because the wilderness will reveal who and what is in my heart. And if you just think about this a little bit, and if we're honest with each other, my friends, so many, I think most of the growth moments in our lives, my life has come from those moments in the wilderness, where I have had to look at myself in the mirror of just me, who I am, what I am. And through that, the growth has come. Not too many of those growth moments have come in those moments where I thought, man, I've done really, really, really well. And when we think back on the wilderness of 2020 and of this pandemic year, maybe God is asking us to look at what is going on in our hearts. What are our hearts revealing about who we really are in the wilderness, where there is no support, where we don't have all the things we always have, and the world has changed? What is the wilderness revealing about you, about your heart? the anger. If you go look, it's very interesting research right now. People are more angry than they have ever been. People use more angry words and angry language than they have ever used. What is it revealing about my anger? About my care for people or my lack of care for others? My compassion with those who are struggling or lack of compassion? In the wilderness, God looks at our hearts and God wants to speak into those hearts to heal them and to make them new. But the second meaning, I told you I think both meanings of paraizo comes into play here. The second meaning of paraizo comes to play here as well, because this is the moment where the devil steps in. And when the devil steps in, there's always trouble. So Jesus has been in the desert now for 40 days, 40 nights. He's been fasting, so he's hungry and he's tired. And in that moment, when he is tired, hungry, vulnerable, that's when the devil steps in, right? Does that ring a bell? Does that sound familiar? Now listen. Listen to what he does. So the tempter, and it's interesting, here is that word paraizo is used. Oh, paraizon. Oh, the tempter came to Jesus and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." What is he doing? Notice two things that he does when he comes to tempt us. Not test, tempt. Two things. He tries to change Jesus' attention and to focus on the things that he lacks. So Jesus, you've been in this place for 40 days and 40 nights. You must be a little hungry right now. Look at all these stones. And remember I told you, Judean wilderness, wild, just rocks, stones, wherever you look. Would you like another stone, Jesus? Could I pass you two stones? Or would you rather maybe have a little piece of bread? Can you see what he's doing? Just trying to shift the focus from who Jesus is and who he is in God to what are you lacking? So easy in the wilderness of 2020 to get caught in that moment. Oh, look what the others have, and look at me, poor me, struggling. Oh, they have at least friends and family. What about me? I'm all alone. Oh, look at me, how I'm struggling with this. I'm not getting that. I'm not. And the focus then comes from God to what I lack. And that's all he needs, right? But notice the second thing that he does. He looks at Jesus and he says, "So if you are the Son of God." Well, Jesus, you remember just a little while ago when you were baptized, there was this moment where God said, "This is my Son whom I love, with whom I'm well pleased." And now, look at you. Here you are in the desert. Where are you going? What is he doing? He's trying to distort the image and the faithfulness of God. Isn't that what he's been doing always? Remember Adam and Eve? Eve's there in paradise in Eden, and she's walking around picking flowers. Devil says, "Yo, Eve, yo, devil, how are you? Good. So how's life in paradise? Oh, it's wonderful. We have everything we need." "Oh, really, Eve? And what about that tree? Oh, God said, leave that alone. That belongs to God." "Oh, why do you think God doesn't want you to eat from that tree? Don't you think God is keeping a little something away from you? Don't you think if you eat, you might become like God?" And what is he doing? He's just distorting the image, the faithfulness, the character of God. As if God is not trustworthy. Here's the thing. The moment I lose my trust in the faithfulness of God and I start questioning that, the moment I don't believe that God is taking care of me and faithful even in the wilderness, that's when sin appears and takes over and becomes so appealing. And it's so easy for us to let these hearts that are filled with God change and be filled with things that are far less worthy. In my thought life, in my emotional life, in my relational life, in my work life. And sin becomes appealing. And what happens to my heart? But here's the good news. Let's take a page from Jesus' book, because there's a way to stand against this. When the tempter comes to Jesus, and he says to him, "So, you're the Son of God. Tell these stones to become bread. Make bread." What does Jesus say to him? Jesus answered, verse 4, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Did you see those words? It is written. Hey, tempter, what I'm going to tell you now, it's true. It's not something that someone just made up. It's not something that I'm just thinking out. I am going back to that which is God's word. I am going to stand on the word that has always been faithful, that has always been true, that has always shown me who God is, that has shown me God's heart and God's care for me. Also, in the wilderness, it is written, Satan. Even in the wilderness. And in that moment when Jesus says that, "I told you I'll come back to you," it reveals what's going on in Jesus' heart and who and what is in Jesus' heart. Jesus' heart reveals in this moment that even in the desert, how hard that might be, that I know that I can trust in God because God is faithful. Jesus knows that even when it feels like the wilderness is going to overwhelm me, God is faithful and I can trust in God. Jesus' heart reveals that I can trust God because God is faithful. Always in those moments in my wilderness when it feels that I don't think I can make another day. Because he stands, his foundation is on the word of God that has never changed. So here's the thing, my friends. Maybe God is calling us not into a season of great comfort and the best circumstances. Maybe God is calling us into a wilderness season of trust. The question is, will you trust him? What's in your heart? Amen. Pray with me. Father God, thank you for the wilderness time. Because in the wilderness, you see us and we see ourselves for who we are and you see our hearts. And even if those hearts are messed up, the amazing thing is it's not because you want to fail us. It's because you want to heal those hearts, so that we can become who you made us to be. Help us then, Lord, to grow from our wilderness times. Help us, Lord, to never lose focus on who you are and who we are, your children, and that you will never leave us and never forsake us. We thank you that we know that because of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.